Blog Talk Radio.
All right, standing by for recording, Kent Sterling to air. Standing by for recording for Kent Sterling to air on Saturday, February 15th. Dial number. This is out of broadcast. This is just simply a recording for an interview to run on the balance. It will be deleted here soon. So again, this is not a recording. Hey, Kent, Tom Marquis at the balance. How you doing, sir?
Good. How are you?
You're good. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Okay, great, great. Sometimes when I run it through things through my board here at home and stuff, you never can tell if there's some outstanding gremlins around there or not. Are you ready for spring, sir? Man.
I'm not ready for that. And I guess we're going to hit the 40s next week, so that's a good thing.
I hear rumor that we might hit 50. I don't know.
That'd be nice.
What we'll do, obviously, we're going to focus a lot on last night's game, IU's game, your blogs about IU, and, you know, certainly have the discussion about Tom Crean's future and Purdue and Matt Painter, but we'll get into some Big Ten talk as well, and we'll do it for about 20 or 25 minutes. Does that sound good? Anything you want to add to that? Or?
No, that's fine.
Okay, we'll just go here after the countdown. Kent Sterling coming in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, welcome back to the Balance, my minions. It's Saturday morning, and you know what we do every Saturday morning? We talk hoops right here on the Balance Radio Network. And the Balance, we talk college hoops. And I tell you what, one of my favorite guys to talk college hoops to, or at least watch on the internet and follow on the internet, is one Kent Sterling from KentSterling.com and 1070 the Fan here local in Indianapolis. Kent, how are you doing, sir?
Doing great. How are you doing?
Fantastic. Fantastic. I tell you what, though, I know we talked a little bit off mic here about this, but this weather here in the Midwest, and I guess we got no room to talk. Pretty much everybody's having some weather issues. It is winter, but I am tired of it, and I am ready for what we anticipate is some better days ahead. And maybe that's the same thing to do with IU. I want to jump right into this, Kent. IU last night against Penn State again. Really, just I felt like at the very, very last second, if you will, upchuck this game. And I don't want to do any spoilers on your blog, but you talked about it in quite detail. What I want from you, Kent, is I just want complete transparency. IU is not the same. A lot of people might say they're a better team than what they were if you look at them on tape and compare them what they were before, early in the Big Ten season, to what they are now. We're halfway through the basketball home stretch. Kent, say something that makes us feel good.
Well, it makes us feel good. Yeah, you know, I think they're real talented. They're real long. And if they figure out how to play well together, then the season has a chance to end happy. But right now at 4-7 in the Big Ten, they've got to go 5-2 to finish 9-9 and have a chance at an at-large bid. You know, if he can't beat Penn State at home, I don't know what in the world chance we have as Hoosier fans to see Indiana finish the season at Michigan with a win or beat Wisconsin up in Madison. You know, last night was a debacle. From about the 2:32 point left in the game through the end, Indiana was just terrible. They had a 9-point lead with two minutes and 9 seconds left. They gave up an 11-point or a 9-point lead at that point to get beat by one, and they never shot a free throw. I don't know how you generate that many turnovers. I've never seen it. I've never seen a team come back from a near double-digit deficit to win without fouling anybody in the last 2 minutes. It was unbelievable.
Well, I tell you what, just the expression on Tom Crean's face. They say a picture says a thousand words. Well, this wrote a complete novel as he watched his team fall apart in the second half, and especially in the last 5 minutes of the game. And, you know, not necessarily me. I'm kind of in the theme of the Olympics. I'm Switzerland right now. I'm neutral territory right now. But I tell you what, the bus tickets to get Tom Crean out of town are looking more and more appealing. Even though I know you got a lot of content, it's probably not going to happen. And you know, but fans are growing impatient. And I'll let you talk about this. Your blog here on KentSterling.com, Indiana basketball, because I'm not ready to march on Cook Hall with a torch. I'm now a Crean apologist. What say you, sir?
Well, which I never thought I'd be. If anybody who's been yelled at by the people down at IU for writing negatively about Indiana and about Tom Crean, it's me. So for people to think that I'm some kind of a lackey for Tom Crean or that program is just preposterous, but that's kind of the position that I've been put into because I'm trying to be fair about it and trying to see this team for what it is. And I've talked to Tom Crean. I talked to him after the Wisconsin game, and which they won, so he was pretty happy. And, you know, he knows basketball. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to diagram an out-of-bounds play. The thing that people wonder is why these players can't run it. That's what I wonder, and I think that's what Tom Crean wonders. You know, he's a good basketball coach. Did the Duke people, when Duke got beat by Lehigh 2 years ago, a 15 seed, in the NCAA tournament, did they march on Cameron and want Crean or want Coach K gone? Of course not. Yeah, Tom Crean's a good basketball coach. The team, nobody is less happy about it than he is. And for Indiana fans, think somehow that because they lived through the Bob Knight era, they know more about basketball than Tom Crean is ridiculous. And the players. Why the players aren't doing what they ought to do, I don't know, and it's got to bug Tom Crean more than anybody else in the world.
Well, you got to ask Tom Crean, and maybe not exactly in this format, but you got to ask him, what the hell happened? I mean, really, for starters, you look at one field goal in the last 5 minutes of the game, and 2-12 down the stretch. I mean, they had, if nothing else, they were leading at the half, and if nothing else, all they had to do was control the ball, control the clock, and be able to hit some shots in the last 5 minutes of the game. We wouldn't be having this discussion right now. So if you were to sit down with Tom Crean and say, "Hey Tom, I'm asking you this, so one guy to another, and our fans want to know what the hell happened. What do you think his answer would be?"
Well, I think he would give me the most politically correct answer that he could possibly think of. He is a great guy for communicating. When he has nothing good to communicate, he's very good at communicating nothing. And covering his press conferences is really a lot like going to a politician's press conference. And when I used to do that, you know, that he'd go cover a congressman, and he would, for 20 minutes, he would talk about nothing. And in the middle of it, he would say something for 12 seconds that made perfect sense and was a great soundbite, and it took me about three of those to figure out that during that thing in the 12 seconds was the thing that he wanted used in the media, and the other 19 minutes and, you know, 50 or 48 seconds was just gibberish that nobody was ever supposed to quote. And Tom Crean is very, very smart in that way. He communicates with the media in a very interesting way, in a non-threatening way, in a way that really doesn't constitute communication at all, and that's, he's really good at it. And you know, I was listening to the Dan Dockett show today, and if Dan knows how these things work, and he said that Tom Crean is maybe the best he's ever heard at you know, dealing with the media and speaking publicly about his team.
Well, absolutely.
I'm not sure if I answered your question, but I don't think he'd tell me anything that would placate, you know, the fans or really thrill anybody. I mean, they're 4-7 in the Big Ten. What can you say?
Well, you know, you answered it just what I figure. You're absolutely right. Tom Crean is very good at getting sound bites and covering it up with everything else. And not that Tom Crean's not a good coach. He is a great coach, and he's a great recruiter. And I think you nailed it on the head when you said that there has to be some better chemistry between these players and when they come together and play. And, you know, Dan Dockage, I got a lot of respect for him. He also obviously had plenty of time there at IU and knows IU basketball, knows, and if anybody understands the IU fan better, it's Dan Dockage. But at some point, fans become very, very, very restless, especially when it comes to IU basketball. We're passive, I guess you could say, when it comes to IU football, but we're very, very proactive when it comes to IU basketball, and maybe we can thank Bobby Knight for that. I think Bobby Knight was one of the greatest things that happened to IU basketball. Whether or not he wants to admit that or not, that's a different discussion for a different day. But IU has got to do something bigger, better to get into the big dance. So I guess that's the next question. Do they dance or do they stand up against the wall this year?
Oh, no. Unless dancing is going to the NIT, I don't think there's going to be any dancing. Going 5-2 down the stretch, I just can't fathom it. Maybe they do. You know, they'd have to beat Purdue on Saturday. Then Iowa comes into Assembly Hall. And Indiana's beaten Michigan, Wisconsin at Assembly Hall, so that's certainly possible. And then you host, you've got Nebraska coming in, you can beat them. But I don't know, I don't know how, after you've gone 4-7 against the schedule they have, how you're going to go 5-2. I think that that's a really tough putt. But this is a year of growth, and it's a year of, you know, Troy Williams and Stanford Robinson figuring out what college basketball is. Yogi Ferrell's become the leader of the team, you know, and you said it, but the team, you know, you want your basketball team playing like a fist, and what they're playing like are five fingers all belonging to a different hand. You know, it doesn't seem like anybody's on the same page. Noah Vonleh's not demanding the ball. He's the best offensive player on the floor at any point for the Hoosiers, and he doesn't get selfish with it. You know, so you wind up getting 6 points out of him or you know, four shots. And that just can't happen. If you've got a guy who's going to be drafted sixth, as he's projected in the NBA draft come this June, the sixth guy overall ought to be able to go down on the block, demand the ball, and put it in the bucket, or go out to the wing, catch and shoot. I didn't see him shoot a three last night, but prior to last night, he was 11 of his last 15, and that dates back to Thanksgiving. If you're 11 of 15 shooting threes, you're going to shoot more threes. You should never average more than 50% shooting threes, because if you do, you're not shooting enough. And Noah Vonleh just doesn't shoot enough.
And we're talking with Kent Sterling of 1070 The Fan Local here in Indianapolis and KentSterling.com, and a very, very avid writer of not only Indiana University, but everything that has to do with Central Indiana sports. And, well, sports in general, that's for sure. Well, you know, we're talking about college basketball, and we're talking about, you know, where we're at. We're halfway through the season, midterms, if you will, if we put it into college terms and classroom terms type situation. These kids got to make the grade. So if you were one of their professors, and I'm clearly speaking only about their performance on the floor, not their academic performance, to make that clear. And just to point out, you and I caught up the day after, on Thursday night, the day after the IU-Penn State game. So when we handed out these grades, that was as of on Thursday evening when you and I caught up. So I want to give you a few people. I just kind of want you to talk with me of what you think their grade might be, pass, fail, whether that be A, B, C, however you want to deem that. Feel free to grade on the curve if you'd like. But
okay.
Certainly we'll start with Yogi. Yogi Ferrell has really been impeccable in his sophomore year. He leads the team in, what, 17.5 scores and about four assists a game, and consistently carries this team day in and day out, game after game after game. You really can't ask for any more player than that. My opinion would give him a passing grade. What are your thoughts?
Oh, absolutely. I'd give him an A. Not only has he been a terrific basketball player, and really, where would this team be without Yogi Ferrell? They'd be terrible. Who's going to take shots on that team but Yogi? Yogi took 16 last night, and nobody else got up, I think, more than 8. and it might have been less than that. He's a terrific leader. He's a really good kid. He represents the university well. He was that kind of a kid when he was at Park Tudor. And what the real thing that you got with Yogi Ferrell was he got leadership when you recruited him, and I think that he's absolutely fit the bill, and a guy that you know has been everything that was advertised and more.
Well, and we move on to my next player on my list here, Stanford Robertson, really kind of a diamond in the rough. I don't know that Tom Crean or IU, maybe Tom Crean knew exactly who Stanford Robertson was, but we're just beginning to see who he is. He has a little bit of a problem shooting some jump shots. He really loves to be very aggressive and attacks the rim very, very well. I certainly think that he deserves a passing grade. And again, I have no scientific theory on giving him A, B, or C, but I don't know that I would give him an A, but I think that he's still developing, that if we have this conversation at the end of the season, he definitely could get an A.
Well, he's a kid who came to Bloomington and really had no right hand, couldn't dribble right-handed. And so Indiana went to work on that, Tom Crean and his staff, and he's a pretty good ball handler with both hands. He can get to the rim. He's an electric offensive player. But he, like a lot of kids who aren't from Indiana, you know, if you're from Indiana, you learn how to play basketball at a young age, and that's on both ends, both offensively and defensively. And these freshmen, whether it's Troy Williams or Bonley, or Stan Robinson, those guys came in not really knowing how to play Big Ten defense, and they're learning. And you saw that with 2:09 left last night or against Penn State, Stanford Robinson fouled a kid, just ran him off and ran him out of bounds. And you can't do that. 3 seconds into the shot clock, he committed an absolutely atrocious foul that really led to this thing, led to the dominoes starting to fall in Indiana's disfavor. But he is who he is, and he is who everybody thought he was. He's going to be a terrific player next year, and he's one of those guys that Tom Crean's going to develop into a really serviceable Big Ten player or better.
Well,
I didn't give you a grade, though, did I? I give a passing grade. I mean, I give him a B. I think that he's improved, and he's going to continue to improve. And if anything in Bloomington, one thing that nobody can argue, whether you're pro-Crean or anti-Crean, is that the kids at Indiana work really hard to get better, and Stanford Robinson is no different.
Well, absolutely, and I think that we're going to see a lot come from this kid, especially as time goes on and the more experience that he has. Now, my next guy on my list here is really what I want to say, one of my favorites. As a personal favorite, as an IU alumni, a guy I really like to watch, a guy I've really enjoyed watching over the years, and that's our big guy, 6'7", Will Shahey. He's scoring really more than he ever has in his career. He's a great leader. But at the same time, as the season goes, and certainly a very energetic player. You can't get any more energetic than him. And certainly, again, maybe this is why he's one of my favorites. He's everywhere, and he's very aggressive after the ball. He has great leadership qualities. He's really constantly teaching the younger players. Cause let's face it, this is the last year he'll be playing for Indiana, and highly doubtful that he'll go to the NBA. Maybe that could happen on an outside chance. But really, at the end of the day, he has just really kind of had a mediocre season, at least for a senior, at least what I think. And I think because of that, as much of a fan I am of Will Shahey, he's been a mediocre player, so to me he deserves a mediocre mark.
Well, you know, he really hadn't gotten a whole lot better during his time at Indiana, but he is one of the – he's going to leave there a 1,000-point score. I know he was at 999 for a long time last night. I don't know whether he got the 1,000th point, but he's going to wind up probably with upwards of 1,060, 1,070 points. So he's had a really, really good career. He was an important part of the team last year that was number one. So he's an easily overlooked guy because this year has been such a train wreck. And I think that there was a greater expectation, especially after he made the junior team that played over in Russia during the summer, that he was going to come in and really be able to contribute in a way that he hasn't. His outside shooting hasn't been real good. His decision-making last night, he committed a turnover where he jumped, had nowhere to go with the ball, threw it out of bounds. you know, those kinds of problems seem to plague Will. And so I think that people are going to look at him and not appreciate the player that he's been throughout his 4 years, because this year really didn't live up to expectations.
Well, we're talking with Kent Sterling of KentSterling.com, 1070 The Fan, local here in Indianapolis, and really love to watch and follow Kent and his expertise. And certainly, if you get a chance, go to KentSterling.com and follow him on Twitter. Always right. I don't know how he has time to do anything else. His radio show and everything else. I mean, I do one show a week, and I know I work full time. I work in the media behind the scenes full time for Gannett, but I don't have time. I don't know how you do it, but I admire you. I don't know who's harder working in media, you or Kevin Lee, but either which way, I don't know how you guys find time to do it. Well, you know, here's another guy here, and I've got just a couple more here I want to get your thoughts on. Troy Williams,
sure.
Really kind of a flashy kid. I mean, really, he's very, very aggressive. Flies through the air, reminds me of Oladipo, or Home Depot, as we used to joke around on the show about. But I think it only gets him so far, and I think his jump's kind of been off mark. He is averaging, I guess, as far as rebounding, about 4.5 per game. The second on the team. Now that leads us to another conversation. If you're second on the team in rebound and only rebounding 4.5, that tells me that there's another conversation there. But he clearly hasn't been consistent enough to really earn anything. What I would say, either a passing grade, maybe an average grade, maybe a C minus or a D. But I mean, he's flashy. He can jump. He's young. So I certainly think that he'll grow into his ears, per se. But at this point, I don't know, other than the fact that Troy Williams can jump high, I don't know. Because he could jump so high, you would think he would get more rebounds.
Well, I'm gonna do something that I normally don't do, and I try not to do always, and that's kind of crawl into the head of a kid, where I really don't know him. I don't know Troy Williams, but the way he plays makes me believe that he values the highlight play disproportionately to valuing the good basketball play. I think that he really, like, he'll go up and instead of trying to just go get an offensive rebound and bring it to the ground, he's flying around the rim and trying to get those flushes. And flying around trying to get blocked shots instead of blocking his guy out so his team can corral a rebound. And I think so often that kids in this sports center kind of culture that we've developed, that ESPN has developed for us, you know, I think the kids really try to make a top 10 play, as Williams had today, Thursday, because of the game Wednesday night against Penn State. And you know, I think that's kind of the badge of honor for those guys, rather than setting a good screen, getting a good block out, and things that you need to do to play winning basketball. I think he's got to learn the difference between winning basketball and highlight basketball.
Well, and that, you nailed it on the head. You really could have said it any better. He's great at giving us the highlights, but he's not really good at winning us ball games, which I think at this point in the season is exactly what we need. You might say I saved the best for last. I mean, this kid, I think, really has a potential to go into the NBA. A lot of people say that Larry Bird likes him, and there's a chance he'll play right here in Indiana for the Pacers, which we don't know. But Noah Vonleh, I really like this kid. I think that he is really, to me, much like Farrell, there's really little to complain about. But he really goes out there. He works hard. He's a hard worker. And as they say in sales, the numbers don't lie. And he really is that guy who averages a respectable 11.5 points per game. He's 6'10". I mean, he leads the conference in rebounding with 9.6 boards per game. You really can't ask much for that, more than that. And this kid can develop into a very good NBA player, hopefully for the Indiana Pacers.
Well, his stock would really have to fall for Indiana to get a shot at him in the draft, unless Indiana completely takes a dive in the second half. Maybe at some point he could be a Pacer. He's a year young because he moved up a class, and that's what the guys who are going to the NBA are starting to do. Andrew Wiggins is another one, I believe, who they reclassed themselves a year ahead, graduated high school a year young, so they could enter the NBA draft at the same time that they would have been able to had they become high school seniors. So he's a guy who really should be a high school senior. He plays hard, and he works really, really hard. If you see video of him from a year ago in high school, he was skin and bones. And now he's got a Big Ten ready body, and by next year he's probably going to have an NBA ready body. So I think that he's been a smart guy as he's built himself into a basketball player. One thing that I really like him to do is demand the ball and be an offensive leader on that floor, because he's got the game to do it. And if he doesn't do it, then who will? You know, Yogi Ferrell can't shoot 16 times a game and have Indiana succeed. He needs another component to be able to balance that floor offensively, and Noah Vonleh's got to be it. And to this point, he's been really hit and miss in that role. Other than that, I mean, he's supposedly a great kid. He works really, really hard. He's a kid who goes to class and does all the right things, from what I hear. But I sure would like to see him get. I'm going to go back to Dan Dockage for a minute, because Dan Dockage told me about going to he wants Luke Recker play up at DeKalb, and when they were recruiting Recker, and Recker, I think he had like 7 points, and Dockage said, you know what, you can't play at Indiana if you're going to go out in high school and get 7 points. You know, you're going to play basketball in Indiana, and this is a level you play at, that's not going to work. And I think Noah Vonleh is kind of in that same boat, where if he's going to go to the NBA and he's going to be drafted sixth, he owes something to Indiana University as a freshman to go out and give Indiana all he's got. And right now I think his attitude is just a little bit too team first and not me first enough, because once he gets selfish, I think Indiana is going to get better.
And you know what, that's a very good comparison. I'm glad you said that, because it does make sense. And especially for somebody that may have NBA aspirations. You know, we preach team, there's no I in team. Well, really there is an I in team, and you really have to be a selfish player in a lot of ways, especially if you want to be looked at on tape. And, you know, I don't want to get too far off my notes here, but I left him, you know, like I said, I saved the best for last. I think out of anybody, he's got the best shot in the NBA. And I think certainly, let me paint a scenario for you. You know, I kind of thought that he would go late in the NBA for the Pacers, but you're thinking different. Let me paint another scenario for you. And this is totally off the cuff here, not on my notes or anything like that. But we know one other coach in the NBA that loves hardworking players. And can relate to this type of a player. Brad Stevens, the Boston Celtics, mm-hmm. somewhere in the top 10.
Right, and that's where they've got him going, like on ESPN.com, other like NBA Draft Express. They've got Vonleh going number 6 to Boston, and I think that would be a great fit. He's going to be an excellent component piece for an NBA team. He's probably going to be a year or 2 years away in development. And that suits the Celtics' timeline really, really well. They're not going to be ready. They're not ready to compete this year. They're not going to be ready to compete next year. But maybe in 15-16, they're good to go, and that'll be a year that Vonleh is ready physically for the rigors of an 82-game schedule.
So you think that he's at least a year out then, okay. Well, we'll get into that.
From being a really good NBA player, that's for sure.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Well, you know, we could sit around and give grades to people all day long. I want you to give one more grade, then I want to get into next week's big game against Purdue.
Okay.
And then I promise to keep you to a clock. I'll do my best to do that. But one last grade, Tom Crean, pass or fail?
I think you give him a pass. There are certainly things that you'd like to see Indiana do better. And some of those things are a component of coaching. There's any question about that, that you look at the head coach as someone, the buck stops with the head coach. He's the guy who runs the program, And if the program fails during a season, then you look at the head coach and you might give him a failing grade. But I don't do that with Crean, because I think that this team is going to be ready next year to compete. I think Farrell with another year of seasoning. I think that Troy Williams and Stanford Robinson are going to be better for having played this year. And I think Tom Crean is smart enough to see that. And one thing that you can never question about a Tom Crean team at Indiana or at Marquette is that they work really hard. I think those guys show up for practice every day and work, and they show up for games, and they work 40 minutes. And as long as guys are giving you that kind of effort, I have a tough time failing the coach.
Well, that said,
if they go in the tank the last seven games and they don't work hard and they don't play hard and they start getting blown out by teams like Nebraska or Purdue, or if they start getting blown out and they go 2-5 the rest of the way, that grade's going to completely change.
Absolutely. I don't know that he's going to be in a situation where he's going to be fired. But going perfect segue into our next conversation here. Purdue, IU, when this interview airs, I know I caught up with you on Thursday, the day after the Penn State game. But on Thursday, this Saturday, so when this interview airs today, IU, Purdue, you got Matt Painter. In a lot of ways, same record, same type of scenario. Matt Painter goes in the tank the rest of the season. He's looking for another job. Whereas if Tom Crean stays and goes in the tank, he gets to stay. Am I wrong or am I right?
I'd be stunned. And really, I'd be horrified if Purdue made a change with Matt Painter. I think Matt Painter's a terrific coach. He's the right guy for that job. I think he's done a really, really good job. I think it's very hard to recruit effectively to Purdue. He's got a good group of kids. And when A.J. Hammonds plays hard and well, and that's happened more often this year than it's ever happened in his life, Purdue's really a pretty good team. I really like Purdue, and I think they probably earned their record, because they haven't recruited the kind of talent that it takes to win consistently at the Big Ten level. But recruiting to Purdue is that's just really, really tough. I always give Matt Painter a passing grade, because I think he's a terrific coach.
I like Matt Painter, and you know what? He was handpicked by Gene Cates, which was obviously the legend at Purdue, the Bobby Knight at Purdue. We're talking with Kent Sterling, KentSterling.com, and 1070, the fan there on here local here in Indianapolis. I tell you what, today's game or the game coming up on Saturday at Mackey Arena, really, it doesn't really matter. Matt Painter, Tom Crean, it's inbred. It's probably part of their scholarship papers. If you go to IU, in order to play for IU and get your scholarship, you have to beat Purdue. Vice versa. You go to IU, you go to Purdue, and you want a scholarship here, you have to beat IU. So really, we just tear up everything we just talked about the last few minutes and realize that we got two teams, 14-10, that are struggling inside the Big Ten. Both teams have got to make a name, but also both teams, IU has to beat Purdue as far as what IU thinks, and Purdue has to beat IU. And let's face it, it's a rivalry that goes deep into the hearts of Indiana here. It's going to be a great game no matter what happens. Indiana at Purdue, what say you, sir?
It'll be a terrific game. I think it'll be, you know, Indiana, for any chance, for them to have any hope to play meaningful games in March, they've got to win that game. For Purdue, this is a game where vengeance comes into play, because last year Indiana beat Purdue twice, and they beat them soundly, I think by a combined 70 points. And they haven't forgotten it. Matt Painter hadn't forgotten it. Ronnie Johnson hadn't forgotten it. None of the guys playing for Purdue have. And so they're going to come out with a chip on their shoulder, and I think it's going to be a really tough game for Indiana.
Well, and I think, unfortunately, as big of an IU fan I am, I fear that you're totally right on that. Let me ask you this real quickly here, and I'm going to let you go because I promised to keep you to the clock here. But IU goes down, but you know us radio guys, we're like Baptist preachers. We never really stay on time, do we? Is it, isn't that how it's supposed to be? unless it's time for a break, and then mysteriously all the salespeople show up if you're late for a break wanting to know what the heck. They don't even listen to your show. Anyway, that's another time, another break. But so real quickly here, Purdue tanks, goes really bad. Let's paint some crazy scenarios here because these are crazy scenarios. But, hey, it is what it is. The end of the season comes, Purdue tanks. We get into the Big Ten championship, they win the championship. Thoughts? Could happen? Total bizarreness? Or, hey, you know, it's at least plausible.
Well, anything can happen in Indianapolis. We've seen that before. you know, Minnesota a few years ago, and it was that kid, what, Half Auburn or whatever his name was, beat Indiana with that crazy shot when Indiana really had a pretty good team, and we were hoping they'd win because Dan was the interim coach at that point, and, you know, all good Hoosiers love Dan Dockich. You know, it's one of those tournaments that where absolutely, and we've seen anything happen. I mean, Indiana's beaten Michigan. Indiana's beaten Wisconsin. Penn State has beaten Indiana. You know, Northwestern has beaten Indiana at Indiana. We're going to see what happens Saturday with Purdue and Indiana. It's mayhem. We've seen, I think, Northwestern beat Wisconsin. You know, so you could wind up with, you know, Northwestern and Nebraska in the Big Ten championship game. Who knows? I think it's going to be a great tournament, and I really can't wait because Indianapolis hosts that thing better than anybody, much better than Chicago. It's a focal point for the people in Indianapolis. People come down to Indianapolis from Fishers and up from Greenwood and over from Avon just to kind of hang out and be part of the environment. That doesn't happen in Chicago. It's one of my favorite events on the sport calendar. I think it's going to be terrific.
All right, Kent Sterling of KentSterling.com. We can talk IU basketball or Purdue basketball with him all day long. I appreciate you coming on with us. Any sneak peeks that you want to share with us as we break into baseball camp coming up here real soon? Because it is February, but officially – spring camps have kind of started up, so any words of wisdom, especially for us Cardinal fans, and God hate those Cub fans, but any words of wisdom that you have real quickly?
Well, Cubs fans are going to have a terrible time this year. It's going to be misery in 14 and 15, but the Cardinals
so
fans are going to really enjoy both years. Exactly, but I think it's going to be even worse. The Cubs won 66 games last year. I think they're going to win less this year. I think they're going to be worse. And I can't even imagine how that's going to happen. But without Soriano, without the guys that the Cubs had last year who kind of carried the ball for them and caused some of those wins, I think they're going to have a really tough time. Cardinals are going to be the Cardinals, as always.
Well, I'm excited to get into that. And obviously we'll talk a lot of baseball over on the Hot Corner every Thursday night as we get deep into baseball. Well, Kent, let me ask you this, airport, your wife, Bahamas, all big kinds of drama going on there. who won the virtual Facebook poll as far as to why she was outraged or not outraged or, I mean, how did that outcome? How did that, as the world turns according to Kent, turn out there, sir?
In what? I'm sorry about that. I didn't hear the first part of your question.
The airport trip to the Bahamas from your your wife
over to Jamaica. Oh,
Jamaica. I apologize.
No, that's fine. I've been kind of cagey about it. I didn't want to tell people when I'm going because I don't want people to know when I'm on vacation. One of the people who sent us a Facebook message about that said that Julie should take me to the airport, and she likes and respects that person, so she's going to do that. So, thankfully, my wife has capitulated, and I'm going to have a ride.
All right. Well, I won't release the dates or anything like that. So, I just thought that was humorous. I was at first I was reading, and I was like, I never get now Jason Hammer and Hammer Nigel, I'm good friends with Jason, and I mean there's always drama on his Facebook page, but never on kids. So it stands out. All right, buddy. Real quickly, where can people find your work? Where can people find your work, your masterpieces, or anything like that?
Well, as always at KentSterling.com, and then on Twitter at KentSterling. Everything's KentSterling, and you know, we work hard at it every day and try to bring people something they can't get anywhere else, just like you do with your shows.
Well, I appreciate you joining us, and Kent, I look forward to you being on again. I hope you have yourself a fantastic weekend, sir.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much for having me.
All righty. Okay, are you there, Kent?
Yeah.
All right. I appreciate it, buddy.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Tom.
I hope I didn't throw you off too much on the airport question there.
No. That was fine. I'm in Cathedral watching Cathedral Ron Collie, and so it just got a little bit loud for a second, so I wasn't sure what you were asking about. It's halftime, and so people were coming out into concessions.
I didn't clear that with you first. It was more of a joke than anything. So.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Right, I appreciate it.
All right, buddy. Have yourself a good evening. All right. We'll see you.
Thanks. You too. Bye. Bye-bye.